What a great way to end the week, 10:30 the time. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed show. Into the midday, here we go. Beautiful, rainy, kind of stormy Friday. And we bring to you amazing live music. I've been listening to this band now since they released their album, and it's been exactly 1 year ago today that the album Same Time Tomorrow came out. I'm talking about the band Night Talks. We've got Soraya, Jacob, Nick, and Josh in the studio to sing a song off of that album and give us a couple of new tracks. Please do me a favor and welcome the band Night Talks. This is Searching.
Searching, and as was mentioned earlier, it's on our album Same Time Tomorrow that came out exactly a year ago today, and that is streaming everywhere, so if you like that, go listen to it. And these next two songs we're playing are two brand new ones that will be out hopefully in the next couple of to a few months. This first one's called Nights.
sleeping. Nights are tough. Just been thinking way too much. Thought I saw a face upon my chair. It's probably just some shirts and underwear. Slowly drifting.
Next song we're going to play is called Roll On, and it will also be out later this year. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are Night Talks.
Head up in the clouds, even if I'm stuck in the house. I'm in this race alone, but I can't keep up with the Joneses. Living out a dream, thinking all about what that could mean. Running with the bulls, will I be able when I'm old? One step, two step, three steps forward, back in one step, two step, three steps back. One step, two step, three steps forward, back in one step, two step. Oh, one step, two step, three steps forward, back, and one step, two step, three steps back. One step, two step, three steps forward, back, and one step, two steps. Bouncing off the walls in my head, yeah, they're just
band is Night Talks, an amazing live set. And I can't wait to get them to come on in here and sit directly across from us. The album that's celebrating its year-long anniversary as of today, same time tomorrow. We'll talk about that, as well as those two other new singles you just heard from. Stick around. They're on the other side. Mm-hmm. 10:47, it's the Mornings with Ed Show, Friday edition, rainy, stormy, it's going to be all kinds of stuff, Friday edition of the program. And if I tell you that I am now just this amazed fan of this band, Night Talks, with a great live performance in studio, we welcome Soraya, Jacob, Nick, and Josh. Thank you for being here this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Too nice. Thank you.
This is just, okay, so first of all, you sum someone up when they walk in the door. You kind of check them out, you look at them, you go, I'm either going to like this person or not.
Yeah.
It took me about a minute to love you people.
Oh, shucks.
I'm not kidding. I walking in the door, I wasn't proud of Nick already. Yeah.
Me neither.
The moment he sat down behind the drums and the moment you guys started working out, I thought, yeah, this is a tight band that knows exactly what they're doing, man. So first thing I have to tell you is congratulations on the anniversary.
Thank you.
It's been a year since the album came out. You gave me a copy of it. Thank you yes. very much. So same time tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating the year anniversary of it tomorrow night at Constellation.
Yes, yeah. We are.
All right. Tell us about that show.
We haven't played at the Constellation Room in quite a few years. I think, what was it, 2017?
Oh, it's probably been like 5-6 years.
Yeah, yeah. And Nick wasn't in the band yet. I had a different haircut. Jacob had a different haircut. Josh's mullet had not yet reached full power right. at that
By
point.
The way, yes, that's an amazing mullet.
Yeah, right?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Is this
going to
be a bit now? Everyone's going to talk about my mullet.
People come up to us on the street to talk about your mullet.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, I'm going to, when we're all done here, I'm going to roll through my phone. I'll show you a picture of my 1984 mullet.
Not
man.
Wait to
I
see
swear,
that.
Dude.
But yeah, we're excited to play. We haven't been down in the OC for a minute. And so we got a couple of our friends' bands playing with us. Blanco Nino and Travesura. Haven't played with either of them, but we're pretty excited about the bill. And we love the room over there at the Constellation Room. It's a great sounding room. Feels great over there.
Right. It is a great room and a magnificent band, by the way. So when you hear really, I'm not going to, I swear to God, I won't go on about this. But when you hear a really cool band that's really tight and professional, God, professional all the way.
I try.
Yeah, you're really doing something right. So Jacob, tell me, what have you been doing in the last couple of years? What have you been doing in the last 5 years since you played Constellation?
Oh gosh, just trying to write as much as possible. This album was like our biggest thing for us because we had an album out that we recorded mm-hmm. maybe 6 years ago, and it wasn't totally representative of what we wanted to sound like or who we wanted to be. Right. So I think this most recent album we put out is we wanted out in the world what we like sounded like.
Did you take more creative control over this last album?
I had just as much creative control over the first album, but I think with this, I figured out what I wanted to do. We've been a band since we were like 13 years old.
Right.
So it took us a minute to find out what we wanted to sound like.
Right.
But this album we actually finished 2019.
Okay.
And then some things happened. Some big worldly things happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
oh, pray tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Indie band with no infrastructure. We sat on it for a while, but right. I'm just grateful to have it out in the world.
When you start a band at a young age, when you start a band in junior high school at 13, and it's the same band that you're rolling through for several years, mm-hmm. and there are not only physical but emotional changes that take mm-hmm. place within the band, how do you deal with that? Who cracked first, I think, is what I'm going to ask here.
Well, our old drummer cracked. Our old drummer cracked, which is Josh's brother.
Okay. Yeah, my brother.
We love him. We're still, great friends.
Right. Yeah, we've had some slight member turnover over the years. Right. There's always been the three of us, yeah. Soraya, myself, Jacob, and Josh have been like the core members the whole time, but we've had like, you know, some extra people join on every once in a while, but
right. And like when Nick joined the band, was there a collective between the three of you? Let's meet. Do we like this guy? Do we want him on?
Or well, that's a funny story. So
Nick actually played hard to get. We did not.
So we had a show booked for basically the night that bars and clubs started opening again in LA, because that's where we live. And we had a drummer that we were rehearsing with and feeling out, and it wasn't. He's a great guy, but then he, like, the week of the show was like, I actually can't do the show anymore.
Oh, that's so burning.
He had an office job that he couldn't get out of. Right. So we're like, all right, back to the drawing board.
So Nick was recommended to us by a mutual friend.
And then...
Who that mutual friend's like, oh, I don't know him that well, though. So when we reached out to Nick, Nick's a character. You're not going to hear him talk much right now because he's a very quiet man.
Right.
Just very hard to get. He's like...
he said, let's get dinner first before...
And I was like, the show's in a week. I don't have time to get dinner, my guy. Can you do it or not? But, yep, went and got our little... We had our wine
and French fries at a French bistro.
Yep.
And we decided we all passed each other's vibe checks. And then we rehearsed and played the show and haven't looked back since.
But, like, us being a band for so long, like Soraya, Josh, and I, I think it is sort of hard for another person to come in.
Right.
And because, like... literally known each other for most of our lives at this point.
Right.
The majority of our lives. Right. So more than half, maybe not most. I don't know how numbers work,
time.
But
right.
A long time.
We'll do the math later. I have an abacus we can all
perfect. Yeah. Yeah. But no, Nick fit right in.
Right. And when you mentioned he played hard to get in the handshake I gave him in the lobby.
Yeah, that's
he really did, man.
He gave you a dead fish.
Yeah. Dude, he gave me that gunslinger from the old black and white Western.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
There's a lack of sleep and caffeine.
Like I said, quiet guy.
All right. Well, not the quiet guy on the drums. Great drumming. And I know you don't want to talk a lot, do you? But I want to ask you about your drumming. How long you been drumming?
Since I was 8, and now I'm a 31-year-old senior, you know.
Okay.
So forever, really, and I've always known what I've wanted to do since that age. So.
Right. Yeah. And always drums or any other instruments that you?
I mean, I can play guitar and piano, but only for writing purposes and stuff. But yeah, don't hire me for the gig for guitar. I can play most drums, drums, hand percussion, whatever you guys want.
All right. And in your writing of music, Jacob, do you prefer to write on guitar? Do you prefer to write and think of your song in a guitar?
I wish I had more of like a textbook, like repeatable way to do it.
Right.
But it always just comes to me in the most odd ways. Like I'll hear like my washing machine making a noise. I'll be like, I gotta record that and I gotta pull that into Pro Tools. I gotta write around that. Or sometimes I'll start with a drum beat. Sometimes I'll start with like a vocal melody. But guitar is, I hate to say this, but I think guitar is like my least inspiring instrument I have.
Wow.
But I think that's just because I'm so overwhelmed with like technology these days and keyboards and plugins and just there's so much madness out there that it's hard for me to sit down with my guitar.
Let me ask you the question now. Is it possible to drift too far into electronics?
It is. And okay. I'm trying to fight my way back. But, you know, it's hard. Those last two songs we played, those are some, I wasn't dropped yet. I had some distortion on. We were trying to rock out.
Right.
But I love
the last two new singles. I want to talk about those in a second, but I do want to talk about Searching. And what was the writing? What was behind the writing of that song?
That bass line we actually were playing around with for a while. That dun 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 dun. Like Josh and I were goofing around with that for like probably a year or two beforehand.
It was on other songs before that too. I like to say that this whole last album has been the Ship of Theseus. Like every song started as a different song, and then we just kind of kept the parts and took it apart and put it back together, and that's how it ended up happening.
I will never get over someone finally using the Ship of Theseus as a reference here. My God,
my college degree coming in handy.
My God, take some money out of petty cash right now. Please.
Yeah.
All right. And I while I'm talking to Soraya, I want, and I don't say this often, but that's a magnificently beautiful instrument that you have.
Oh, thank
your voice
you.
Is a magnificent instrument.
Thank you.
Where does someone, and when did you, you've been together since you were 13 as a band.
Yeah.
Where do you get the confidence to go, I'm going to sing in public?
Well, I've always loved attention. I'll say that. Okay. I grew up as a theater kid, unfortunately, and I drifted out of that into music, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm being too humble for the sake of, but like I truly do believe this. I only recently got to the level that I'm at with singing, and I think it is because as an adult, I started
going to a vocal teacher, and she really helped me, you know, just take better care of my voice and find a little bit more confidence to try other things. And then, you know, these guys also all helped push me out of my comfort zone and help me stop being so worried about just being pitch perfect all the time and right. messing around a little more and trying to get more personality in there. So it's been a long process, but I've always loved being on stage. So
I need to mention this, that I only offer tea to voices I think are worthy of the hot tea. So I heard her in there and I went, do you want a little hot tea?
I really appreciate it.
No, that's totally cool. you did two new songs, new singles. Nights was the first one. Tell me about that.
That was... Both of these songs were born out of a little global lockdown.
Right.
Nights, I was just tossing and turning one night because my sleep schedule was so messed up because I was playing video games till like 4 a.m. every night with my right. friends. Only way to see people.
Right.
And, I mean, the first line of the song is ain't been sleeping, nights are tough, stuff like that. Right. I was just restless. Both those songs just come out of restlessness in the house, and I think that comes across lyrically, and we've changed the lyrics a lot because they were a little bit too on the nose when we first wrote them, where it was like it's very clear what's happening and it's very clear what situation we're in,
right?
But now we've vagued them up a bit or made it more universal to maybe if someone's listening to it 10 years from now, they're like, oh yeah, this I can connect with this.
Yeah, what I'll say is we can, despite the fact that we're no longer literally locked inside our houses and apartments, I still really relate to a lot of it, like, you know, the first song Nights. I also messed up my sleep schedule over that pandemic. I watched hundreds and hundreds of movies, watched a lot of horror movies, and I had a lot of sleepless nights being deathly afraid of something hiding in the clothing pile on my chair. And, you know, it was also, like Jacob said earlier, as an indie band with no infrastructure, you kind of, it's difficult a little bit to watch people who, you know, you've been acquainted with or that you know who... you know, very happy for them to be successful and to be able to have a thriving career during a pandemic and be able to, you know, play on late night television and things like that and still put out music. But we had to wait because the only way we can reach people really is playing live shows and meeting fans in real life that way. So it's still, thankfully, we're able to get out and do things again and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But it was a little tough to... for all of us, I think, to just feel like we weren't really doing the band thing for like a year.
Right. So. For 9 months, I was the only one allowed in or out of the studio, and I was working 15 hours a day for 9 months. And I think that my sleep schedule, I could have been playing games with you.
Yeah.
I could have gotten home and played video games with you. I want to talk about that period in time for just a moment and your writing behind it. I've asked this question before. Do you find now that as you look back at the writing that you did during the lockdown, there was a darkness to it that you need to break free from, or are you still in that darkness mode of writing?
I honestly feel like my writing during that period might have actually been less dark because I was trying to look forward to something.
Right.
And now that everything's back, now it's a little bit more dark where I'm just like, man, traffic sucks. Like, I'm kind of sick. Like, I'm feeling less like dancey and like, I want to go out and have fun. And now I'm just more like, oh man, okay, computer's coming to life, man. I can't deal with this. Like, I hate this.
But you did translate your writing to a video camera over the pandemic period.
Yeah, the only thing that really kept us entertained, I guess, thank you, Soraya, our pseudo manager.
Beautiful.
What we did do to, and transition, during COVID, one of the things we did do to stay busy was she mentioned she was watching a lot of movies. I think our Criterion, like, thank God for Criterion Channel, first of all. But,
yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Service.
Criterion movie, it's changed my life. Yeah. we bought a video camera over the pandemic. We all pitched in. And we basically, the band trusted me enough to just write and shoot and edit and color video for every single song on the album. Cause I was like, we're sitting on the album.
Right.
Let's make some content for the album. So when it comes out, we have stuff.
Right.
And yeah, so we did 10 music videos for every song on the album. Not 10 for each, but like we did 10 total.
10 total.
Yeah.
Oh, that is such a great idea, first of all, and a great accomplishment, secondly. That's just wonderful. And when you do your own videos, there's nothing like the creative control of that right there.
Yeah.
There's, you know, not having someone go, oh no, I think this is what I see when I hear your music.
Yeah, no, and I had literally no idea what I was doing. Right. Like some of the videos, you see moments of like, oh yeah, this looks like a real video. And some moments you're like, goodness, what were they
there's
like
a lot doing? Of Jacob showing up with his like shot list for the day, and then Josh and I would look at it and we would be like,
it's just scribbles.
It looks like a doctor's note.
Yeah, this is hieroglyphics.
It just has like dots on it with nothing like describing what's happening, but like I don't know how.
And we're just well, we gotta trust him. Let's roll with it.
I thought it was Braille for a second.
He knows what dot 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 means, right?
Exactly. And it's so for some songs like Searching, our video was like it was a talent show. It was like a spoof on So American Idol, we were a panel of judges, the three of us, but we were also the contestants in the video.
And we were all multiple contestants.
So that video was easy for me to sell them on.
Right.
But there's another song in the album that I love called Dance With My Eyes Closed. And I was like, okay, guys, listen. The video is we're going to be in a big house. Soraya's going to be sleepwalking, and she's going to be messing with Josh and I while she's sleepwalking. But simultaneously, she's going to be in this dream world that we're going to keep cutting to. And she's going to be being chased in the dream world. And the person chasing her, she's going to be chasing us. And then at some point, Josh, you're going to knock me out. I'm going to go into the... And they're like, Jacob, you've completely lost us. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Somehow you pulled it off, you crazy kid.
Magnificently creative, by the way. Way to think. Way to think outside the box.
It was something.
The last song we heard live was called Roll On.
Yes.
I love that song. I love the energy behind it. Tell me about it.
That one was the perfect example of me stuck in my office during COVID, just bouncing up and down. Like, I want something that goes. So, yeah, just I got that drum sound, and then I just pounded on the bass as hard as I could. Right. And I was like, Soraya, on this one, I want you just to be like, and all, because what she was saying earlier about us trying to help her break out of her shell vocally, a lot of the times if I sing on a demo, like send it to her,
right,
it's not that the notes are correct, it's more that the vibe is,
right.
Like, right. I blow out your mic if I did what I did on the recording, but it was a lot of like me shaking around the room, like pseudo, like very, very energetic, like David Byrne, I love.
Right.
And it's just, head up in the clouds.
David Byrne meets Iggy Pop, meets basically, Joe Cocker. Yeah. Right, a little bit of all of that stuff.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
And then Soraya's like, I listen to country, sad country, but I listen to Linda Ronstadt. What do you want me to do with this? I'm like, figure it out. And then it all comes together.
Yeah. Now, they are two brand new singles, and thank you very much for letting us hear them first. And I asked you off air if there was an album in the works, and if there is, cool. If not, what's the difficulty of maybe starting to put one together, and what's that timing look like?
So these two songs were originally supposed to be a start of an album,
right?
But recording costs, in terms of like the quality we want the recordings to be, adds up fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And also trying to get 10 songs put together in like the era of like Spotify, where people are just banging out singles left and right.
Right.
It's kind of hard to justify sitting on songs for long enough to form an album. Because like those two songs, wrote those during the lockdown.
We've been playing them live for a year and a half because we premiered them at Emirates Halloween Party 2 years ago.
Yeah, of course, Amaranth's Halloween Party. Yeah. Everyone knows that. But those songs,
the biggest thing in town.
It was incredible.
It was
but
crazy.
We those songs we recorded, I think, August.
Right.
And they're probably not going to be out until May, April or May, if I'm giving a release date. Sorry, Alexis, if you're listening, manager. but yeah, it's so hard to, like this album that we were just saying, I wrote it in like 2018, 2019. It wasn't finished until we got our masters back March 2020, and then it's such a process as an indie band to like make an album that you love,
right?
Especially I'm so picky with recording.
Well, and especially too, because we want to give the songs the proper assets to have as good of a release as we can. So Jacob is currently in music video planning mode again with one of my friends who's also a big supporter, and she's going to be directing it, and you guys are coming up with the concept and you're producing it. So there's a lot
editing,
of
editing, color, music videos, live videos for these two. It's just like it's a whole process just to get one, two songs
we
out.
We want to put full effort into everything that we put out, and we don't want to leave people hanging and just put something out and have it feel super anticlimactic.
Right. I got to be honest with you, quality shows, quality tells. You can tell a mile away where quality sits, and I see it right here. It's just 6 feet away, man. And I swear, I love how persnickety you are. I really do. I love the fact that you're so well detailed, and it shows up in the sound. You can hear them tomorrow night live. I strongly suggest you go live tomorrow, the Constellation Room. And if our listeners wanted to support the band, purchase your music, purchase your swag, where do they go that benefits the band the most?
Go to our website, nighttalks.com. You can buy a physical copy of our CD if you have a CD player. We have merch on there. We have sweatshirts if you're cold in this rain right now.
We're packing up this merch ourselves. We're filling out all the forms.
Yeah, we'll send you a little bonus sticker.
If you want to hold a CD that we touched, then, you know, yeah.
I got it. Exactly. And when you said if you have a CD player, I would be ashamed to not have a CD player.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I swear to God. You know, I don't care. You know, all the music online, whatever. I got to have a CD player.
The biggest heartbreak for me was that my car CD player actually ate one of my favorite CDs, and I can't use my CD player anymore, and my CD is just in there forever.
You can get a good pair of needle-nose pliers.
Do I break the CD if I do that, though? I mean, I guess it's fine.
You can probably get another CD.
Yeah. It's a copy of that album, Lovage. Yeah. Music to Make Love to Your Old Lady by, anyways.
Perfect. All right. Soraya, Jacob, Nick, Josh, the band is Night Talks tomorrow night at the Constellation. You can find their CD online. You can find their music everywhere.
Social media, not that hard to find us.
No, I love that. All right. Yeah. And anytime there's another song or something you want to do, you come on in here. Let's do it.
Love
right?
To. Yeah.
All right. I love you guys. Thank you very much. 11:07, it's the Mornings with Ed Show.